And welcome to EAA Radio. Good morning. I'm Michael's wireless Mike, having a troublesome morning this apparently. And today we are joined by the NTSB again, and we have Elliot Simpson. And Elliot has a very unique background. Yeah, you're building a couple of airplanes.
Yeah, I'm an accident investigator with the NTSB, and I'm currently building an RV-7. I'm one of four NTSB investigators who are actually building RV aircraft.
And what is your specialty with the NTSB?
I'm an air safety investigator, so I'm one of the regional investigators. I'm based in Los Angeles, so I'm a regional accident investigator.
And today we want to specifically talk about accidents and challenges with experimental aircraft.
That's correct.
And what are some of the additional challenges that you have with experimental aircraft?
Well, first of all, I'll give you a quick summary of how we examine, how we investigate certified aircraft accidents. And that'll give you a good idea of the, really where we branch off and how experimental is different. We have about 50 regional investigators, and it's not possible for all of us to be experts in every single aspect of an aircraft system or an engine. So we'll often take what we call party representatives from the manufacturers with us to accident sites, and they'll be on-site technical expertise. There'll be certain finesses and intricacies about engines and or aircraft that we wouldn't know, that they can certainly guide us and help us with. We're still in charge of the investigation, and we ultimately, the board determines probable cause. But we have the assistance of the manufacturers. Now, experimental aircraft, as you could probably understand, are different. The manufacturer is generally the pilot, the builder of the aircraft, and quite often, unfortunately, they don't survive the accident. So we're right up against a ground from the beginning investigation, where the key person who could give us assistance is no longer available. So that's one of the big differences with experimental aircraft. In addition, when you look at experimental aircraft, every single one can be completely different. Even one RV can be completely different from another RV. One Lancer can be...
A lot of people customize their airplanes,
yep,
in so many different ways. And some customizations are good, and other ones lead to...
They can either lead to the accident, or they can at least be a contributing factor. They can be a part of the chain, you know, a seemingly simple electrical change or a design change that someone had installed at one point that they didn't think had any real outcome on the aircraft, could, whilst not causing the accident, could be part of the chain that ultimately leads to an accident.
Well, that brings up a great question. Let's say I am building an aircraft, and you're building an RV. So let's talk about an RV. And let's say you're building your RV, and you want to find out, there's probably been one or two RV crashes. Can I look someplace to find out what mistakes other people have made in building their RVs so I cannot make those same mistakes?
Absolutely. If you go to the NTSB website and click on the aviation link, we have a full database online. And you can, I'd certainly recommend searching by aircraft type. Go from as far back as you can, as far back as the aircraft was originally built or designed, and search on every single, go methodically through every single accident with that aircraft. Every single one, print them out, read them, and become intimately aware of everything related to the aircraft, my recommendation.
And I know it's the mission, I don't know exactly the mission statement of the NTSB, but your general principle is, if you can learn from somebody else's mistake and prevent that mistake from happening again,
right,
and if our builders all listen and, you know, would take some of that advice, hopefully we can prevent another accident.
Absolutely. It's about education. Just, we write reports as thorough reports. Read as much as you can. Educate yourself as much as you can.
Now, in doing a little bit of research, I read in the 2005 annual review of U.S. General Aviation accident data, and I don't know, it was a couple years old, but there was a very interesting sentence that struck me, and it said, it is particularly worthy noting that 47 of the 115 accident pilots in 2005 who had less than 10 hours in the accident aircraft were operating amateur-built aircraft. That seems like an awfully high percentage
it
of
is.
The number of crashes.
It is, and I had looked through the some of our data before I came here, and to give you a rough estimate, 20% of all fatal accidents happen within the first 30 hours of the aircraft's completion. So that's generally within the phase one flight operations. So that's certainly a high number. And again, I would implore anyone to look up their aircraft type and find out what problems people encountered on those first in the phase one operations to see whether or not it's an operational pilot issue or whether there really was a technical problem with the aircraft.
Well, what things could people do to try and minimize what other things, like maybe pilot training? You know, because you got a brand new airplane and, you know, is it just like jumping from one car to another car?
No, I think a lot of people, because you spend 10, 15 years building an aircraft, you can become intimately connected to that aircraft, and you might, I wonder whether you can possibly start taking it for granted. So people are familiar with the aircraft. I would recommend strongly that they get as much experience in that type, maybe fly in a similar aircraft, get some pilot training in that aircraft, certainly before they fly it, to try and iron out their operational problems. But I think you might find a lot of the problems still are general pilotage problems. If you have an engine failure on takeoff, just remember to fly the plane. That's probably one of the most common problems where you'll probably experience in your first phase one flight.
Is engine problems?
Well, just like with certified aircraft, you'll have engine problems. But the key is really fly the plane. You know, the age old dotage fly the plane into the ground is
right.
Still applies.
Right. If you just give up, it's not survivable. But if you try and find a good landing place, and you know, I've heard some amazing stories of, you know, people being able to put airplanes down in the most unique ways because they kept going all the way to the end.
Yeah, control the plane to the end. You can, it can be a fatal accident if you lose control at 15 feet. So control the plane as much as you can.
Okay. And where are you located on the field?
I'm in the Los Angeles office. I'm part of the Western Pacific region. I'm one of about 14 investigators we have on the West Coast based in Hawaii, Seattle, and Los Angeles. We also have some regional investigators who work from home in Butte, Boise.
Yeah, they just earlier this week I was talking to somebody who's talking about how you can work from home now, and
yep.
You know, cut down on the offices, and you could spend more time at home. It sounds like a great deal.
It is great. Yep.
Now, if somebody's there on the field, where on the field could they come and talk to you? And are you going to be available?
Yeah, I'll be here for the next 3 days until Sunday night in the Federal Pavilion.
In the Federal Pavilion.
And I would love to talk to people about experimental aircraft accidents. So I think it'd be great for people to come over and this is the place for experimental aircraft.
Right. So. If anybody's building an airplane, this is the guy. This is the guy who deals with all this, and he can answer probably a lot of your questions. If you have specific questions, I mean,
he's trying my best.
He's got the great knowledge base of what not to do. How about put it that way?
Keep it simple.
All right. Well, you've been listening to EAA Radio. We've been talking with Elliot Simpson of the NTSB, and we all hope that you'll go and find him over in the Federal Pavilion. This is EAA Radio.